Acts chapter 18, we're going to begin at the verse 24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man, and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was Christ. Amen. And we know that in Acts chapter 18, Paul's second missionary journey came to a close. He had been in Corinth, where he had spent over a year speaking and preaching the word to the believers there. He, of course, established the church in Corinth. And whilst Paul was in Corinth, he met a couple called Priscilla and Aquila. He had much in common with these two individuals because they were of the same craft that he was. They were tent makers. And so he stayed with these two people. He fellowshipped with them in the Lord. And then Paul journeyed on from Corinth. He sailed across the Aegean Sea to the great seaport of Ephesus. And whilst he was at Ephesus, he spent a little time there. And then he sailed on. And when he sailed on from Ephesus, he arrived at Caesarea, as you will notice in the verse 22 of Acts chapter 18. And after landing at Caesarea, he went down to Antioch. And that was the conclusion of Paul's second missionary journey. Aquila and Priscilla, however, he left them behind in Ephesus. And whilst they were in Ephesus, they encountered a young man called Apollos. And we are introduced to Apollos here in Acts chapter 18 and the verse 24. From this day forward, the name Apollos would forever be entwined with this couple called Priscilla and Aquila. The two become inseparable because of the strong connection that they made here in Ephesus. The book of Acts is called the Acts of the Apostles. In reality, it is the Acts of the Holy Ghost. The work that the Holy Ghost did through his servants in the establishing and growth of the early New Testament church. And in the book of Acts, we encounter a great number of tremendous personalities. We have Peter, we have Philip the Evangelist, we have Barnabas, we have Timothy, we have Silas, and of course we have the Apostle Paul. And the book of Acts is practically a biography of the Apostle Paul. But there are a variety of lesser known characters in the book of Acts as well, whom it is profitable for us to consider. And here in the closing verses of Acts chapter 18, we are introduced to this individual called Apollos. And what I would like to do is conduct a character study into Apollos, into his early life as a believer, and the work that he did in the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when we consider these characters and these personalities, we too learn how we ought to conduct ourselves in the house of the living God. And the first thing I would like you to notice about Apollos here is the encouragement he was shown. Let us consider some aspects of this individual's character. You will notice here in verse 24 of Acts chapter 18 that he was a Jew. But he did not come from Israel. He came from Alexandria. He was born at Alexandria. And Alexandria was a great city in Egypt at that particular time. So he was an African. He came from Egypt. We know that there was a strong and a learned colony of Jews living at Alexandria. We know that because in New Testament days, Greek was the universal language which the people spoke. Therefore, the people of God, and indeed the Jewish people, used primarily a particular version of the Old Testament which was in the Greek tongue. They used a version of the Old Testament called the Septuagint. And the Septuagint was the Old Testament in Greek. It was a good and a faithful translation which the people could use and which the people could study. The Lord Jesus Christ, whenever he read the scriptures, for example, in the synagogue, it would have been the Septuagint which he read from. And when the apostles quoted the Old Testament as they preached to the people in the book of Acts, they were quoting always from the Septuagint. It was called the Septuagint because there were 70 scholars in Alexandria, 70 Jewish scholars who took their time to give the Greek-speaking world a version of the Old Testament in their particular language. So this particular Jew called Apollos, he came from the city of learned Jews. Apollos came to Ephesus not just as a man who was learned in the ways of the Jewish people, but he was also tremendous learning in the secular world. Because we're told here that he was born at Alexandria, he was an eloquent man. And this word eloquence, it has a twofold meaning in the Greek language. One of the meanings is that he was very learned in history. He was an historian. And he had a tremendous knowledge of history and of background. And we must say that his knowledge probably primarily concerned scriptural and biblical history. But he must have had other learning as well, because he came from Alexandria. Alexandria is one of the great centers of learning in the Roman world. In the Roman Empire, it was one of the foremost places of learning. It would have been equivalent to Oxford or Cambridge in our country. And so this particular man, he had credibility. Whenever he came to Ephesus and whenever he taught the people would listen to him because of where he came from. He was a man of learning from a very credible institution. He was also gifted. This word eloquence, it also means, as we have it in our tongue today, it also means that he was a gifted public speaker. And there is no doubt, but Apollos was a powerful speaker. Whenever he spoke, people could listen to him easily because of his gifts. Later he would minister the word of God in Corinth, and there were people in Corinth who listened to Apollos, and they were attracted to him because of his power of eloquence. And they listened to his eloquence rather than the word that he taught. And the Apostle Paul would contrast Apollos with himself, and he said, "When I came among you, I came in fear and in much trembling. And my speech was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom." So Paul felt that his ministry in terms of natural gift was very weak compared to the power of Apollos. Apollos was also mighty in the scriptures, we are told here in the verse 24. He had a sound knowledge of the Old Testament scriptures. That's simply what it means. He knew the word. And that, of course, would tie in with him coming from Alexandria, the city of learning, the city of learned Jews. He had received formal biblical instruction. Verse 25 tells us this man was instructed in the way of the Lord. Now, this word instruct, it's the word from which we get our English word catechize. And a catechism is a structured way of teaching people truth and doctrine through questions and through answers. So this man had been to the equivalent of a Bible school. Perhaps he had sat at the feet of a great Jewish rabbi, and he had spent time learning the things of God. So he was mighty in the scriptures because he had received instruction in the scriptures. We are also told that in the verse 25 that he was fervent in the Spirit. And this word fervent, It means that his soul was boiling with enthusiasm. When the kettle boils and bubbles, it's the same word as this word, fervent. So he hadn't just a dry head knowledge of the Word of God, but he had enthusiasm for the things of God. He couldn't help himself. He wanted to teach the Scriptures. His soul was full of the Word. And therefore he wanted to let others know what he had learned and what he had been taught. He was faithful in practice, because notice verse 25 again. He spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord. He came from a different land. He came from a different continent. He had a different accent. He would have looked different. But yet, when he came to the synagogue in Ephesus, he set all these differences aside, and he wanted to proclaim to the Ephesian people the Word of God, and he was faithful in so doing. He was outspoken in his manner, because we're told in the verse 26 that he began to speak boldly. So he did so in a way that people couldn't help but notice. People couldn't help but hear. Despite these commendable characteristics, Apollos was a flawed man. He had a flaw in his theology, a flaw which, if it was not corrected, was going to hinder him in his service for God. The verse 25 tells us that he knew only the baptism of John. He knew only the baptism of John. It is striking whenever we come back to verse 25 of Acts chapter 18. We're told that he was instructed in the way of the Lord. Now, this particular phrase, the way of the Lord, is used elsewhere in the New Testament. And whenever it is used elsewhere in the New Testament, it is used primarily of John and of the preaching of John the Baptist. For example, turn with me over to the book of Matthew chapter 3 and the verse 3. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." So whenever John spoke, he spoke about the way of the Lord. And if you turn with me over to Mark chapter 1 and the verse 3. "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." And there are other references also, which we'll not go into now, because it's the same kind of theme. Luke 3 and 4, John 1 and 23. Whenever this individual preached, John, his preaching related to the way of the Lord. And then when we come to Acts 18 and 25, we find that this man, he was instructed in the way of the Lord, and then we are told that he knew only the baptism of John. So his learning was linked and united to John the Baptist. How did this man in Alexandria in Egypt ever come into contact with John the Baptist and the teaching of John the Baptist? We simply do not know. Perhaps he had visited Israel. It's highly likely that he had, because he was a Jew. It seems that he was a devout Jew, and devout Jews always made their way to Jerusalem. So had he been to Israel, to Judea? Had he come into contact with John? Had he been baptized with John? Had he become a disciple of John? And then went back to Alexandria. Perhaps there was somebody in Alexandria who had been to Judea, who took the teachings of John back with him to that city and started to teach others what John had taught him. We don't know, but it certainly proves what Christ said about John the Baptist, that of all those born of a woman, there was none greater than John the Baptist. And John the Baptist's ministry had a wider reach than any of us really can imagine. Through the teachings of John the Baptist, Apollos would have received some good, sound instruction, because John was a great man. And therefore, Apollos would have known that there was a coming Messiah who would establish his kingdom on earth, because that was the thrust of John's ministry. There is one coming, the laces of whose shoes I'll not be worthy to unloose. There's one coming. And he came to prepare the way for that coming Saviour. So Apollos knew there was a coming Messiah. He would have also known that Jesus of Nazareth was this Messiah, because it was John who lifted up his hand to the stranger coming to Jordan and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, who beareth away the sin of the world." This, however, was as far as Apollos could go. He knew there was a Messiah. He knew that Jesus was that Messiah. But he had never been exposed to the apostolic teaching about the importance of Christ's death and resurrection. He had never been exposed to the teaching regarding the Church of Jesus Christ. And above all things, Apollos had never received the Spirit of God, because John said of his own ministry in Matthew 3:11, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." So Apollos had not received the power and the infilling of the Spirit for Christian service. He knew nothing of the Holy Ghost. So these were the imperfections in Apollos' teaching. It was not that he had received incorrect teaching from John, but John's teaching was not the whole truth, you see. He needed to learn more and discover more, particularly of Christ and of the Holy Ghost. We could compare Apollos to a young believer, full of energy and zeal in the work of God, mightily gifted perhaps in public prayer in a way which would put older believers in shame. A young believer who wants to get out there and win others for Christ. And yet this believer has problems. A problem in his theology, perhaps obtained through flawed teaching in the past. A problem in his lifestyle, which more mature believers find difficult to reconcile with a Christian testimony. What are we to do as a church whenever we are encountered with people like this? People who are saved and converted, and yet there's much in their lives that need put right. Are we to turn them away, give them a cold shoulder, hope that they'll take their problems to some other church? What are we to do? What did Aquila and Priscilla do? You see, Aquila and Priscilla, they came to the synagogue one day, and they were arrested by the sound of a great voice echoing across the synagogue. And they heard this man preaching, and they were attracted to him. They could see that there was much in him that was commendable. And yet they also noticed that he still had much to learn. So what were they to do? Ignore him or try to help him? They tried to help him. We are told in this verse 26, "Whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them." So they befriended him. They took him unto them. They offered him hospitality. And here we receive a very practical lesson. A soul-winning church is a friendly church. It's not good enough to say that stranger who visits is not a friendly person. We must go out of our way to befriend them. Every church needs people who will have a ministry, and that is to look out for the visitor. Sit beside them, show them friendship, say hello. Give that person the impression, here is a church that cares for others. And if there is somebody who is struggling, is somebody who's growing cold, if there is a young believer, just like Apollos, who has much to learn, there needs to be those who will encourage that person to be of assistance. We are told that when they took him in, they expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. That tells me something about Aquila and Priscilla. It was natural for them to talk about the Word of God in their house. Here they were in their own home, bringing this individual into their own home. And what did they do? They talked to him about spiritual things. How good are we at talking about the things of God to other people? How good are we at talking about the things of God to each other? We may be good at talking about many things. Church affairs. We may be good at gossiping about people. But do we talk about the Lord? It was so natural for Aquila and Priscilla to talk about the Lord that it was simply no problem for them to just teach this young man about the things of God. It wasn't forced. He didn't feel pressurized. It was the spirit of their home, you see. And brethren and sisters, if the spirit of our home is to talk about the things of God, and when the stranger does visit, it'll be easy to talk to them about spiritual things. But if we never talk about the Lord in our homes, if we never talk about the Lord to our visitors, when there is that person who needs a little encouragement, we'll find it very difficult to talk about the Lord. The church should have a spiritual conversation. Perhaps Paul had told this couple in his many conversations with them about the help that Barnabas was to him. Remember how Paul, when he was converted, the disciples, the apostles at Jerusalem, did not want to welcome Paul because they thought he was an infiltrator, that his profession was spurious. But Barnabas believed Paul and trusted Paul and introduced Paul to the church. And Paul would not have been the man he was Barnabas not there to encourage him. In John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, Christian's wife, Christiana, made her journey to the celestial city in the second part. They are given a guide to escort them in their journey. His name is Mr. Greatheart. He teaches them about their secure relationship to the Lord. He leads them uphill difficulty. He fights off Giant Grim and walks with them down into the valley of humiliation. Where they are, he is there to help them. We all need a Mr. Greatheart. None of us would be where we are in the work of God or in the things of God was there not somebody there to encourage us and to help us. And as we have received the encouragement of a Mr. Greatheart in the past, we should always want to be a Mr. Greatheart to others. A Priscilla and Aquila to the Apollos of the world. That is the encouragement he was shown. Secondly, I would like you to notice the humility he displayed. Apollos was a man of learning and ability. That is undoubted. And yet he was not ashamed to sit down at the feet of these two tent makers and learn from them. He had been to university. He had attended a place of formal biblical education. These two saints had been to no such institution, and yet he was prepared to sit with them and listen to them. This took much humility on his part, for he had to accept, my learning is imperfect. I need help. And he received help. If any of us, including myself, wish to learn, we must be willing to accept the rebuke and learn from the instruction of others. In a sense, each of us are converts who need the instruction and the shepherding influence of another. The Mr. Greatheart may be words of instruction offered by a parent, by a mother or a father, an elder in the church. The minister, whenever he has to bring words of rebuke for the congregation. Maybe somebody who's older in the faith, somebody who's wiser than you are. Somebody who has faced a similar situation in which you are found and they want to impart their wisdom. Part of spiritual growth is listening to others. So often we're inclined to throw up the head of pride and say, I don't want to listen to that. I go my own way. I know better. But that's not the Christian way. The Christian way is to listen, and the Christian way is to learn from others. And that needs humility. We may never be so proud that we'll never listen to others. We need to be like Apollos. Learn, listen, and grow. There's a third point I would like you to observe here, and that is the servant prepared. We've noticed the encouragement he was shown. We've noticed the humility he displayed. But thirdly, let's notice the servant prepared. As a result of the intervention of Aquila and Priscilla, Apollos was prepared to be a servant of God. If you notice the verse 27 here, that after he had received this exposition of the way of God more perfectly in verse 26, something happened. And when he, that is Apollos, was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. So it would seem that after he had fellowship with Aquila and Priscilla, he ministered for a while in Ephesus. And I know that he ministered for a time in Ephesus because he then received this call of God to go and preach the word to Achaia. Now he was in Ephesus, this great seaport in Turkey, modern day Turkey today. And he wanted to go over the Aegean Sea into Greece to Achaia. Now Achaia was the area where Corinth was. And Corinth was the major city in this area, so it would seem that he was going to Corinth at this particular stage. But whenever he went to go to Corinth, he went to the church, to leadership of the church at Ephesus, and he asked them for a recommendation. Because you will notice that the brethren wrote, the people of God wrote, the church wrote, the elders, they wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. So they exhorted the Christians at Corinth to receive him. So whenever Apollos went to Corinth, he had this letter of recommendation. This man is a servant of God. He's been faithful here. And he had to be faithful in Ephesus for them to give this recommendation. So he was no longer the outsider who knew only the baptism of John. He was now the insider ministering amongst God's people, had the confidence of God's people. So he had been prepared by Aquila and Priscilla for service. Now, look again and see what he did whenever he went to Corinth. He exhorted who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. So what did he do? He went to this city, and those who had been saved, those who had believed through grace, he helped them much. Do you see the pattern here? He had received the help of Aquila and Priscilla, and suddenly he was out there helping others. He became a Mr. Greatheart himself. To those who had accepted the word of God, he was going on carrying that message and that spirit which he had been taught. Over in 1 Corinthians 3 and 6, Paul summed up the ministry of Apollos in Corinth. And I think that this is significant. I have planted, he said, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. The ministry of Apollos was a different ministry from the ministry of Paul. Paul was the church plant. Wherever he went, he commenced the work. He started the work, and then he stayed there for a time, but he always journeyed on, going somewhere else. Paul was the missionary, evangelist, the church planter. But Apollos had a different ministry. He watered the work. He helped the work grow. He was the church builder. He helped the people of God. He established the work. The church of Christ should remember with equal fondness all its servants. It is good to remember those who have started the work, but it is also good to remember those under whose ministry the church grew, because all are the Lord's servants. And let us remember that all of the Lord's servants are ministers in the work that is God's work. I have planted, Paul said, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. The increase belongs to God, you see, because the work is God's. And he had also a soul-winning ministry, because if you look at verse 28 again, for he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. So Apollos had a good ministry, a fruitful ministry, a blessed ministry. But the ministry that he had ended in sadness where Corinth was concerned. Personalities caused conflicts in Corinth, as they do so often, and Apollos was caught in the middle. You see, he had spent time ministering in Corinth, and people grew to like him. And as a result, a party spirit developed, and it wasn't Apollos' fault. Some people were saying, I am of Apollos. Other people were saying, I am of Paul. And there was this division in the church. Division over the servants of God. And yet there was no division between the servants themselves. That can often happen, brethren and sisters. The church can lose out because people put personalities before the work of God. And this is what happened in Corinth. And we know that that Paulus left Corinth for a time as a result of these problems. Turn with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and the verse 12. As touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come at this time, but he will come when he shall have convenient time. So this man had left the work of God, and Paul wanted him to come back to the church, but he didn't want to come back. He wanted a more convenient time. He was waiting for things to settle. Here we see a man who had a heart for the work of God. He put the work before his ministry. He was willing to sacrifice his ministry that the work might have peace, because he didn't want to be part of all these divisions. So that was sad, but it shows us how he was interested in the work of God. But yet Apollos, despite this discouragement, he continued on in the work. And if you turn with me over to the book of Titus chapter 3 verse 13, you will notice the last reference to this man in the scriptures. Titus chapter 3, the verse 13. The epistle to Titus was one of the last books that Paul wrote. He wrote it when he was a prisoner in Rome, probably written around AD 64, towards the end of Paul's life, some years after Apollos first came into contact with Aquila and Priscilla. And notice what Paul says. Bring Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey diligently, that nothing be wanting unto them. So Apollos was still involved in the work of God, continuing on in the things of the Lord. So much so that Paul at the end wanted his fellowship. This was a man who served God faithfully. A man who was willing to listen. A man who had much to learn and yet received the encouragement of others. He was a man who loved the work of God, who ministered in the work of God. A man who fought a good fight and finished the course. And yet, Apollos would never have been the man he was it not for Aquila and Priscilla who encouraged him. You may never preach, you may never win hundreds to the Lord, but you may instruct children in Sunday school. You may teach your own children in their home. You may be somebody who's always there just to encourage the young convert, and let me tell you, when you do that, you will receive a share of their blessings. C.H. Spurgeon was converted under the ministry of an elderly man who really couldn't preach. The elderly man was in the pulpit that Sunday because the preacher hadn't turned up. There was snow on the ground, the preacher couldn't get there. And all that elderly preacher could say was, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God, and beside me there is none else." And all he said was, "Look, look, look, you need to look to Christ." And he spent his whole sermon talking about the word look. And Spurgeon was sitting, and the man looked at him and pointed the finger and said, "Look, young man, look." And C.H. Spurgeon, the man who won thousands of people throughout his life, was one for Christ. And yet that old man received a share of his blessing. Let us always be an encourager, that we might be a help to others. Perhaps you're here today and you're not saved. Well, you need the Lord. You need the Lord. You need Christ. You need Apollos' Savior, Paul's Savior. You know, in the book of Acts, we have the record of the gospel going forward into all the earth. The most dynamic, transforming influence this world has ever known. Yet you're without this influence today. You're in darkness. Will you not embrace the Savior? Make him your Savior. Let us bow together for prayer.